years ago, the Lord put me through a set of circumstances that led to me sharing on the unconditional surrender of our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I feel like that's what I want to share on tonight. When we were living in Washington, D.C., we were there on Central Avenue the first time that we were in the D.C. area. Like I said, we got moved here suddenly. We had spent 1 year up in Leesburg, and then we ended up getting a property. I am skipping over so many stories as I can't get into all the, but we ended up with a property that was quite close into D.C. And I still remember when we moved into that property, my husband had a commitment and he had to go somewhere. So I was in a neighborhood. Now this house had been empty for a while. We had actually bought it in the dark. You'll appreciate that. Just looking at it with a flashlight. And there was such a yes in our spirit. It was about a week later, I said to my husband, do you realize we just bought a house in the dark? Do you think we ought to go back and look at it? You know, we already had our fellowship. We were meeting in a conference room in Crystal City, and the church was excited. And so, but we just knew that we were supposed to get that property. So, but there I was in this place. It wasn't exactly homey yet. I can remember there was a hole in the kitchen floor. The downstairs was full of rubble. Thank God I didn't know yet there were snakes down there. But he had to go somewhere. So I was there by myself. And we'd only been in there maybe a week or two, you know, not very long at all. And I didn't have curtains yet. And the realtor had said, well, make sure you change your locks. Well, our locks hadn't been changed yet. I was just there in this neighborhood, and I didn't know what to expect. And the house was on a little bit of a hill. And I felt like I was on a hill letting my light shine, you know, because I didn't have any curtains. And so I was scared. I was very uncomfortable. But yeah, I knew that God sent us there. I mean, you have to have that when you make a decision that goes beyond the ordinary. You have to know that you know that you know that God has led you. And while I was there alone, I can remember saying, I can't live with this fear. I cannot live with this fear. And I made one of the deepest commitments to the Lord that I had ever made in my life. The Lord took me into Daniel with the three Hebrew children. They wouldn't bow to the image that Nebuchadnezzar had made, so they were going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. And what they said is, if it be so, in other words, they didn't have a prophecy. They didn't know how it was going to turn out. But they said, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, in other words, we know he's able, but we don't know how this is going to work out. It doesn't matter. Be it known unto you, we're not going to serve your gods, and we're not going to worship the golden image which you've set up. The Lord took me also into 2 Corinthians 5:8. Where Paul is writing that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. and that he was stating that we are both willing and confident to be with the Lord. He took me also into Romans 14:8. It says, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. And also Philippians 1:20, where Paul is saying, Christ shall be magnified by my body, whether it's by life or whether it's by death. And as I was looking at these scriptures and reading these scriptures, I can remember saying, Lord, I know that you brought me here. And whether I live or whether I die, because what fear is there if we're not afraid of death? Whether I live or whether I die, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen while I'm here. I know you can deliver me. But whether that's in your plan or purpose or not, you will be magnified in my body. I am yours. In life or in death, I am yours. And I made one of the deepest commitments to the Lord that I ever made in my life. Honestly, it was right after that someone called me up and said, because we had a little fellowship, we were meeting in Crystal City, someone called me up and said, Nancy, can I come and change the locks on your door for you? I said, oh, that would be wonderful. Someone else called up and said, oh, we saw these curtains. Can we bring these curtains and hang them on your window? Somebody else found carpet. You know, a store was going out of business. The Lord allowed me to be in the pressure of that circumstance so he could get at something inside. It's a similar type commitment that I made when I came to Nanjimoy, because in the natural, it doesn't look like a decision I would be making at this point in my life. But I know that I know that I know that the Lord brought me there. And my passion is to see his purpose fulfilled. While we were living there on Central Avenue, peace came. I just had peace after that. Not only that, provision started to come. We got a little too comfortable. And one night, foolish thing to do, to take a walk at night, you know, but David and I had a little service. We were expecting company, and we decided to take a little walk. And three guys attacked us. They came across the street, and they were cursing, and I don't know if you've ever had anything like that. There is such an intensity. They were cursing and yelling, and David had turned around to face them, and he was throwing some punches, and they were throwing some punches, but there were three of them and two of us, and I remembered my commitment to the Lord. And I thought, Lord, is this it? Is this it? Is this how it's going to end? And I remember Jim Elliot, you know, he lost his life, but it was after he lost his life that God moved powerfully. And I'm in this dialogue, all this punching and yelling and cursing, and I'm saying, God, is this it? And I heard a voice with so much authority inside of me. I've never experienced anything like it. So much authority, it said, keep walking. And then with so much love, Nancy, just keep walking. So I'm walking up the street. I'm facing this way, walking up the street. My husband's behind me, facing the other way, punching these guys. And I'm thinking, this is the most foolish thing. I should run, or I should turn around and help him. But if they knock him out, it's going to be worse for me as a woman than what it is for him. But the authority was so strong, it overcame my logic. And so I just kept walking. What I found out later is that we were back to back, And as I was walking, he was walking. And as we were walking, we got to a more lit part of the street. One ran off, the other one ran off, and then the last one went. And I was absolutely amazed. David had taken a punch. He had one little cut on his forehead. Other than that, he was fine. I was on cloud nine because I had heard the voice of the Lord. And my husband is saying, "What is wrong with you?" I was like, "Oh, the authority. Oh, the love." Never heard anything like it. But the Lord protected us. But it was from that this message came about the unconditional surrender of our lives to the Lord. And lately we have heard of some Christians being killed. You know, in that case, we were delivered. But we have heard of Christians being killed in brutal ways beyond what we've heard in times past. And as I have been weeping for our brothers and sisters around the world, the verse that the Lord gave to me was out of Genesis 4:10, but it's where Cain slew Abel. And what the Lord said was that the voice of his brother's blood cried from the ground to the Lord. And I believe these ones who have had an unconditional surrender of their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, who would not move from their testimony or from their witness, that their blood still speaks. Their blood is still crying out at the throne of God. That blood in the Old Testament, that which precedes the cross, it was crying out for justice, for judgment. After the cross, there's a cry for mercy. And see, this is what we're praying for a visitation of God, for the mercy of God, for the Lord to come in the midst of these groups and to turn their hearts and change their lives. For the Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed to them. But that blood from the ground still speaks. If you can remember when the Lord called Moses, the burning bush, what the Lord told Moses in Exodus 3, that the cry of the children of Israel had come up to his ears because of the tremendous oppression that they were under, and that he was going to come down to deliver them. There's tremendous oppression today that's taking place. And where the Lord in times past raised up a Moses, an Abraham, a Noah, I believe there's a corporate people that the Lord is raising up today. There's a corporate anointing who the Lord is going to use in bringing change. If you remember when the Lord visited Abraham, what the Lord told Abraham was that the sin in Sodom was so great that it was grievous. And I believe that which is taking place today on so many levels is so grievous to the very heart of God. He was coming to bring judgment upon the sin. But he shared his heart with Abraham. Abraham who knew God. Abraham who was an intercessor, a man of faith. And Abraham made intercession. What Abraham said is, are you going to destroy the godly with the wicked? Would you do that, God? And through that intercession, and that's what's happening today. See, there's an intercession for a move of God, that there'll be a people brought out before the darkness is dealt with. He said, would you destroy the godly with the wicked? There was intercession. And there came an intervention of God where Lot was brought out before judgment fell. The angel said, Lot, you've got to get out of here because I can't do anything until you get out of this city. And when Lot would have lingered, they actually took him by the hand. That's the mercy of God. That's the grace of God. And brought him out. If you remember in Noah's day, when judgment was brought down on the wickedness, 2 Peter 2:5 tells us that the Lord didn't spare the old world, but saved Noah. The same judgments of God, or the same moving of God's Spirit that brought the waters, that dealt with the darkness, are the same waters that raised up Noah into a new day as he was in that ark. And I believe that as we are approaching a new dispensation of time. You know, we're at that time, the church age, the kingdom age. There's a transitory time. Revelations 3:18 speaks of the Lord standing at the door and knocking. And we use that verse for salvation. And we can rightly do so. We can apply God's words in many ways. But if you look at the progression of the passage of Scripture, the Lord is standing at the end of the church age, at the Laodicean church, the end of the church age, and he's knocking at the door to see if anyone will hear. Then he speaks of an overcoming people who will be caught up, seated with him at the throne. Then a door opens. And there's one seated on that throne. And there comes a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. The outworking of his purposes. And I believe through all that is happening, you know, when the judgments first started to fall in Egypt, there was a period there where the same thing that happened to the Egyptians happened to the Israelites. But then it came a point where there was a distinction as the Lord was bringing the Israelites out. And I believe that as we're in this time frame, see Isaiah 60, rise, shine, for thy light is come. Though there be gross darkness on the face of the earth, it's surely there, the glory of the risen Lord will be seen upon you. The Lord is coming back to be seen and admired in a people. And I believe that as we're willing to trust the Lord, like Abraham, make intercession. Like Noah, trust God. Build that ark, build that place of devotion, build that habitation for the presencing of the Lord. Like Moses, Lord, I can't do anything of myself. Who am I? But Lord, if you can use me. See, utter dependence on the Lord Jesus Christ. That the Lord will use up this darkness that the Lord will surely deal with in his own way, in his own time, is lifting a people up unto the throne where they can be seated with him and become a part of that which he is doing. You know, when I'm listening to the news more than I'm reading my Bible, I'm going to end up all agitated and upset. I didn't realize how much bad news was out there. But that's not where God has called me to be a reporter of all the bad things happening. I catch the gist of it, I turn it off. Because now all you're going to hear them arguing about it for the next. I've already heard what happened, that's all I need to hear. Let's turn it off. And then let's begin to pray. And as we are willing to trust the Lord in our generation, in the time frame that the Lord has allowed us to live in, as we're willing to keep our ear tuned toward heaven, Lord, you said there would be gross darkness, but that your glory would be seen, that your glory would arise on a people, that you would glorify the glory of your house. Lord, we're asking for your glory to come. We're asking for your glory to be seen. Lord, you said that if we were willing to overcome, Lord, that we would be seated with you in heavenly places at your throne. Lord, we long to come to that place of unity, of oneness with you. We want to be joined with your heart. Lord, may we be ones that you can share your heart with. And that we won't be saying what Fox News is saying or what CNN is saying, but we'll catch that which is on your heart and begin to pray into it and speak into it. There's a lot of declarations being made today, and they're good. There's an activation of faith. And the word of the Lord will not return void. But yet there's another vein of declaration that the Lord would bring us up into. There's a greater releasing of spiritual authority that the Lord would bring us up into as we're willing to lay down our lives before him and cultivate that hearing ear. If I can share just one situation that I had. We were having the conferences up at the Peach Orchard, and it was when our meetings first began in the middle 90s. I had the church then, but our church would pull together the food and set up the chapel. My dad would speak. We would do the music. It was up near Laurel, up in that direction. And after one meeting, there was a person, I don't know who it was, but they wanted to pray for my dad. And my dad, when he was done ministering, he would be drained. I mean, everything that was in him, he had released. Well, then he needed, so I knew he was tired. I knew that, but this man wanted to pray for him. Well, a crowd started to gather. And I was cleaning coffee pots. I just felt to keep cleaning coffee pots. So that's what I was doing, but I was listening. And when this man started to pray for my dad, it was the most negative thing I ever heard in my whole life. It was a negative anointing. It was accusatory. It was, as I listened, some things were true, some things were outright lies, but the whole thing was done from a negative spirit. And I came to understand that when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, it's not just lies that the enemy brings. Some of it's true. And it's the righteousness of Christ that is our defense and our covering. But as I listened to him and I saw my dad sitting, he's sitting there with his hands up. Well, I know what he's doing. He's asking for the intervention of God. That this, you know, all he had to do is get up and make him stop. But that wasn't my dad. He's going to wait for God to deliver him. So as I'm watching my dad, the crowd is getting quiet, and they're realizing something is wrong. My dad's there with his hands up, and I'm doing my coffee pots, and I'm saying, God, you're not very nice to people who who love you. And I remembered Walter Butler. He was a man. He was a teacher my dad had in Bible school, and his whole life was spent on sharing a message that had to do with knowing God. He went to over 56 countries. He was used powerfully in visitation. But towards the tail end of his life, he had quite a bit of pain. And I remembered Walter Butler and his suffering. And then I saw my dad there suffering. And I said, God, you're not very nice to people who... And all of a sudden, out of my mouth, so powerful it made me jump, I heard, that's enough. And when I said that's enough, that man stopped midair. The whole thing broke up. It was over. It was done just like that. And I realized that God will allow his saints, his chosen vessels, who he loves dearly, to be tested to a point. But I realized how limited Satan was. He can go so far and no more. And that was the end of it. Now, if I would have just said, stop it, or if I would have said something of myself, he may or may not have stopped. But that was the Spirit of God that came through me with a fierceness. And see, that's what God wants to do today. There's declarations that we can make. But as we come into that place where it's the Spirit of God in us welling up, speaking through us, there's an authority beyond what the church world has seen today that we are going to come up into, where we will see an exercise of God's Spirit such as this world has not seen. And that is where God is calling us. For he who has an ear to hear, Revelation 3:18, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear and let me come into him, sup with him. The Lord's calling us into that deeper communion and fellowship with him, that we might come to that place of being seated with him, that we might be a part of that which he is doing. That the stress that the world is under, that is pulling so many down, it's going to cause an overcoming people to rise up and to come into their place and calling in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. It's where the Lord is calling us. Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord shall be seen upon you. What a glorious calling. What a glorious calling. What a hope. What a joy. See, the Song of Solomon, come my beloved, let us. This is what Jesus prayed. As it's written in John 17, that we would become one even as he and the Father are one. Come, let us see that we would come up to that place of being seated with him, not just a reporter of events, and not even moving from the gift of faith alone, though the Lord blesses faith, without faith it's impossible to please God. But coming up into that higher realm of authority where it's His word, that's enough. That's enough. That's enough. Where the word of the Lord can go forth. And we will see a word with consequences begin to be released through the body of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just pray together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, I just thank you for your calling that rests upon each of our lives. And for lack of better words, I've been speaking of an end-time anointing. The releasing of an anointing that we need for the day that we're living in. So, Father, I speak a releasing of that tonight. Your anointing, your enabling grace, your enabling power. Your presencing, your Holy Spirit calls us to hear, Lord. Let us become your mouthpiece. Father, we're asking for your glory to shine. That your glory would shine, Lord, in the various places we live. Lord, in this metropolitan Washington, D.C. area, that your glory would shine. Let your glory shine, Lord. Let your glory come forth in the midst of the darkness. Let your glory be seen. Lord, I'm asking within the church that a people would come up into their calling. But Lord, also that horizontally there would be a people brought into the church. That there would be a people who would yet come to know you. That in your mercy and in your grace, Lord, that there would come a mighty move of God, not just in this nation, but in nations. Lord, that you would move, Lord, among radical groups, other persuasions, Lord, that you would reveal yourself, that you would make yourself known, that you would appear, that you would come, that you would intervene. We're not crying out for judgments, we're crying out for mercy, for the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that opportunity to turn to you. We're asking, Lord Jesus, for the salvation of souls. We're asking, Lord, for the salvation of souls. We ask, Lord Jesus, for that greater releasing of your presencing, of your word, and of your authority, and your enabling grace, Lord, to be a witness and a testimony of you in the time that we live in, that we would rightly represent you in all that we say and do. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you would so grace us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.